go higher, you go even more alone.
It's not just about what do you want. It's especially about what are you willing to sacrifice for this.
Uplift yourself, and based on this uplifting, you help others to cultivate the same state of being.
Today's video was sponsored by Huel, a quick, affordable, nutritionally complete source of food with everything that your body needs. They've just sent me their new Super Greens. If you want to find out more, head to the link in the description.
When we spoke in the last interview, you'd mentioned the word loneliness a few times. And I'm really interested to hear your definition and also your experience with it. Because I know for a fact, especially after COVID, it's been like young men experiencing loneliness has been this huge issue, I would say, in society. I think even myself and my brothers have experienced it at times. But when you say loneliness, do you mean being alone, or do you mean like feeling lonely, like there was no one there for you? Does that make sense, the distinction in the two?
So the loneliness I describe is not the way how I said it or mean it. It's not that I was lacking people around me, okay? I'm constantly somehow involved in events, having training, all of these things. What makes it lonely is not even necessarily that I don't have a connection with other, let's say, soul brothers, soul sisters, where we know that there is a support. The loneliness is in regards to the path that you are walking. Yeah? Being inside with you guys, for example, for the last 2-3 days, beyond the fact of that we are physically close, but I think I feel there is even another connection, another layer beyond that. That layer of, okay, you could also be like a brother with another job, with another vision, okay? So of course there is also this type of connection, but the loneliness I say is, yeah, but sometimes you're gonna go back to UK once we meet, the connection is back. But then there is still that loneliness of, it's your life, yeah? And it's the questioning of what to do next, this type of loneliness, okay? And the more you want to move on, the more you spend time being lonely. This is like the type of loneliness like I'm also referring to.
I'm lucky I've got my brothers and sisters, because we feel like we're on the same purpose, the same path. And I've never felt lonely on that journey. And then I'd say recently, I've had people come into my life that have been like brothers and sisters to me as well on the path of doing that. So was it that you found people in those, on that same journey or same path, or supported you that made you feel less lonely?
Yes. So this is actually more or less why we have this community right now. So more or less, the people you find right now in the Shaolin Temple Europe, this is the core. Yeah, this is the one that influenced me the most. These are the ones I have some impact on. Let's say like this, okay? And this constellation, it's good, because like this temple, this community is the babies, all of our childs, okay? In regards to the temple, but in regards to life, each one is also lonely.
Yeah, I get, that's it, you're all by it. This was the funny thing when you were speaking about it yesterday, and I had this picture for a video or documentary. We didn't go with it, but there's probably a highlight around it, but that almost like lone wolf mentality. And we've spoken about connection and having community and support, and you know, with the Shaolin Temple you have that in a huge, huge way. But then I've always found comfort in, it is on me, and everything for me, my internal experience is on me, whether I'm happy, whether I'm sad, whether I achieve success, whether I have good relationships. Like, I always find that a level of comfort in going, it's on you, and you are the one to blame if it goes wrong. You are the one to praise if it succeeds, whatever. But that has always been a huge thing to me. I mean, is that something that you have as well, some kind of mentality, or is it all based in community?
No, I mean, these are, of course, the thoughts that also like fill up my mind.
Mm.
But that's exactly it, yeah, this internal dialogue.
Yeah.
The more you want to develop, the more dialogue you will have to have.
Yeah.
This is what it is. And even while being surrounded in a community, but at the end, when you're doing something, when you do your training, when you do your office work, it's still like you are alone. And you observe yourself in which state you are actually. You know, so this more or less, some people might get it as loneliness means it's something negative. No, it is what it is, lonely.
Yeah.
So, and if you think that I can't handle loneliness, it's difficult to grow.
Mm.
Yeah, it's difficult to grow if you cannot handle loneliness.
We've spoken about the being conscious and having awareness and being in the moment. I absolutely love that conversation. But I also wanted to explore with you the subconscious and how to master the subconscious.
It means, or it is called subconscious, because it is at such a deep layer that even if you are very aware and very conscious, you still don't have direct, let's say, access to it. It is in the same way, like right now we are sitting inside of here, being very conscious. What is still happening on another layer is just for an example that our bodies right now are in exchange with the air that is inside of this room. What type of air is inside of the room, depending on what type of rooftop we maybe have inside of the room, depending on what type of paint has been put upon these walls, what type of incense sticks were lighted up inside these rooms, finding themselves now their flavor inside the curtains. So already being right now sitting over here, there are many, many things happening on a level we don't have influence on. Even if we would be conscious about it, but we can be conscious about it, but we don't have influence on. And in the same way, this is what also relates very, very much again to this concept of the karma, of cause and effect. You can have effect on everything that you consciously do. But everything that also unconsciously came into your life, this of course also has an effect on what you are capable of achieving or where your path is leading to. It's such a deep layer where I think the majority of people, including myself, still it's a big question mark. Okay. What helps in the first place, I think, is again the realization there are these layers that are existing. You can be aware, you can be conscious, you can take care of everything you think, you feel, you do, and the way how you like behave. But there are just things going on every second, every minute since your lifetime where we have no influence on. And they have still a very high impact upon us. Already the fact of when we were born, what did our parents eat? A month, a week, a year before our mother became pregnant. It's not in the field of our influence anymore, but it is 100% something mirrors inside of us. Okay, so that means there are so many things which come together that makes it ultimately impossible. Impossible to try even for 100% to, how I say, to pre-assume what's gonna happen next. Also, like, very nice, just yesterday I had this view, or I had this conversation, like, there was a grill, and there you saw like the flames with all the small sparks flying around. There is no technology that can predict where the sparks will appear. It is as it is, the fire. Yeah, the sparks, they just appear wherever. It's impossible to predict anything about this. And sometimes life is like this. You can light the fire and say, okay, here I'm going to place the fire. Yeah, but what happens next, you can't. Because this fire, this nature, somehow also has a life by its own. Yeah, which means you can stand right next to the fire, yeah, but sometimes that spark hit you, sometimes it doesn't hit you. It's not predictable.
This was a question that actually came in quite frequently over the last year, is how do you heal the body, especially of like chronic illnesses?
Again, before I answer to this question, I'm not a healer, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a medic. But if I feel there is something about myself which is chronic, from somewhere it must come. Something must have been in the way of my life, in the way of my bringing up, in the way of how I grew up, that made it manifest more and more and more into my life. Until now, it has become actually a part of my being. There is some process which was leading to this fact. So, if I would like to readjust something about this, readjust something about the consequence that happened, meaning I have something chronic, my idea is I need to see the whole line of what caused this one. And there we are just entering again, diving into your personality, diving into your preferences, diving into your suffering, diving into your tragics, diving into the dramas, diving into all the conflicts you had, diving into the loved ones, all of these things. And maybe there you will discover how it came. If you want to solve a problem, you need to know where the problem is located. So number one is discover, analyze first of all, where could it come from? So, once you have maybe an indication and already starting to see, okay, this is the line. Still it means maybe you know, but you don't necessarily have the abilities now to make these things be released. And this is now where it comes to the area I have no experience on, I have to say, but into the area of spiritual healers or any type of healers that have the power, let's say, in doing something that you can't do. You know, but you can't do. So therefore now it's sometimes good to have somebody who knows how to do it. Okay? And then I think things are possible. And who are these people who possess so-called spiritual power? It's the ones that their life is completely based upon spiritual practices, of course. You want to become proficient in the field of spirituality? Well, makes sense also to learn and investigate and live in this world. That's why these people have become so fine and do things that we sometimes cannot do. And it might be that then the chance pops up. You really want to get rid of it. You do the work. Then maybe you meet the people that have the capacity. Yes, something like this happens in this world. But you must want it first. If you don't ask the question, how do I get rid of this? Nobody's going to give you an answer. If you start for the how, then if you start with the how, merge together with the willingness of the heart, with the pure-heartedness of wanting to receive the healing, I think it's possible.
For me, when you use the word brotherhood, it's about a mission for good. It's about, you know, everyone's on the same mission for good. And I wonder how the physical training, the concept that we spoke about yesterday as well, the demon hand as well, how does that play into a brotherhood? Like, if you are all on the same mission, that's fantastic. And then what kind of mentality do you have to have together to make those missions and those ambitions come true?
I mean, just by really taking that word brotherhood and looking at the core of what that word means, you have the brother, or let's say the sister. So you literally just look into the relationship that you have to your brothers or to your sisters. First of all, they are not you. They have their ideas. They have their ideals. Second thing you realize is there is no brotherhood, there is no sisterhood where you always get along with your brother. Okay? So I really think that growing up together with other brothers or sisters also in very early ages is confronting you with something very important. With the message, it's not necessary for you to always be right. This is the first thing. It's not necessary that your brothers or sisters share the same ideas as you. So it starts very early that you are inside a smaller family and actually try to figure out what type of a construct, what type of community, what type of rule set would make sense in order for everybody inside of that family being able, on the one side, to freely express themselves without harming the others. That is the one side. So there is something about how can everybody be an individual strength without sacrificing or without harming or affecting the others. And at the same time, once one of your brothers or sisters is at a certain point in life where they need support, how quickly can you sense it? It's like another thing, okay? So because the outside, the way how somebody looks, the way what somebody talks, it's not an appropriate indication of what's going on, okay? We are living so much in a world right now, on the outside, things are easily faked. And the fake anyway belongs to this world. It's one and one, okay? But what you cannot fake is energy. What you cannot fake is the sensing when you sit across one person and just try to sense it. And I think this type of you can sense when somebody close to you is not well, okay? So these are like things. Now, I was talking all the time about real brother, real sister. But sometimes you meet people in your life. They are brothers from another mother, okay? But when you're sitting with them, you can still sense that there is a connection. There is a connection between that other person and yourself, that sister and yourself. Some people refer to maybe it's your soul brother, maybe it's your soul sister. But there is some type of connection. And this is also like for me, you know, it doesn't matter what is written on the paper sometimes, what you are, that you are like officially married, let's say like this. Officially married, but inside no connection, pointless. That's why I've also never been a friend of any type of paperwork. Either it's inside or it's not inside. Either you sense it or you don't sense it. Either you have the spirit or you cultivate it if you want to have it. Okay? This type of energy just doesn't lie. So, and just like now talking about all of these pictures, when I train together with my brothers, I can feel when their weakness comes. I can feel when they are about to give up. And vice versa. And we all feel it about ourselves. And this is now the point where sometimes people know what to do. But it's still better to sometimes be reminded by someone. Or even being able to witness someone going through the same suffering right now, knowing we all suffer, but at least I don't suffer alone. And he managed to do it, I will manage to do it. So it is sometimes just by observing the actions. Nobody needs to tell you, keep going. No, it sometimes is enough to just watch somebody, see the suffering, but at the same time also see he still keeps on going. So this is then suddenly opening up also your ability to have that own trust and hope is possible. And so it just opens the mind. And if many people on a constant basis are confronted with these things and doing this type of training, then this group dynamic is simply a really strong one. Yeah, and this and now this all also doesn't just apply to the field of martial arts. Like I said, there are many individuals who have their own things going on. So maybe the suffering doesn't come from the field of martial arts. Maybe the suffering comes from something else that happened in their private life. But same story here. Why do you sense a person? Because you have a connection. And so it's out of question for me, does the suffering come because you're doing the martial art, or does the suffering come because you have problems in your relationship? It doesn't matter. I can feel he's not feeling well, she's not feeling well, something must be done. And if I can do something, I do it. Yeah? The closer, the deeper, the more intimate, the stronger the connection is, the feeling is that you have towards another person, then something very, very naturally, as a consequence, will arise. And that one is called compassion. Okay? With a closed circle, it's easy to sense it. Yeah, if they are from your flesh and blood, chances are high it's naturally already existent. But it's also possible with, let's say, like in our place, as a community, a brother and sisterhood from different families. Even there, it's possible to create it. And the goal, jumping now really, really back into Buddhist teachings, is that this type of internal, this type of perspective, if you can help, you help. Why? Because you can sense the suffering of the other people. This is what we refer to as being compassion, as being compassionate or learning to cultivate this type of belongingness. So actively training yourself towards the direction of belongingness. Okay? Because if there's no connection, there can't be compassion. Very simple. Compassion is the natural consequence of very deep connection. Why? Because you are regarding the other person as part of your existence and life. So there is no alternative than just trying continuously the best to pull. Either we grow together or nobody grows.
It was really nice, again, to hear about ambition and that you can still be ambitious. You can still, and again, just be careful on the other side. Like, just be aware and be careful. I think it's, for some people, to hear you've got ambition is a bit of a shock in some ways. But you wouldn't have been able to do everything that you've done if you didn't have some kind of plan or vision or purpose, I guess, it had to exist, surely.
I mean, this is like the fire, I think we talked about in our conversation. That is actually really the motivating fact, the fire itself. You know, in the very beginning, it's not even, I mean, when you're young, it's not necessary you think about the sense of life. So I started also growing up into this field of thoughts. So, you know, there's also first, sometimes you need to have the things that you're striving to. Yeah? So it can be you're following up on the agendas in order to be successful, in order to have money, in order to have an expensive watch, an expensive car, whatever. And I really think that partially, if you are disciplined, if you do the proper things, if you stay determined, stop the laziness, chances are very high that many of the goals that you're setting to yourself will become true. Okay, so. But after you reach the goals, now it's getting interesting. Now, actually, for me, the observation started. Now you have it, 5 years of your lifetime invested. Now you have it, 5 years of like going, okay. And now what happens inside of you in relationship to what was so important to you. You know, it's not that you have 5 years now of satisfaction. It's not 5 years of pleasantness. It sometimes is not even 5 minutes of joy, depending on what it is. So what I see there is a huge investment of lifetime on the one side for the price of what? Having 5 minutes, 50 minutes of satisfaction, and then happening what? Happening the next goal.
Yeah.
I have just received the Huel Daily Greens, and this is going to be my first time trying it. One scoop goes in. And I've been seeing this product everywhere, and I've wanted to try it for a long time. 91 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced nutrients, adaptogens, super greens, and fruit complex mushroom blend, dairy-free probiotics, antioxidants. Now, I love Huel because I think they're absolutely amazing. All their products are. So I know that this will be great, but the reason I wanted to try this is because a lot of the time, I don't get enough time to get in all those things that are in there. And this is how I will now do it every morning that quickly, 10 seconds. Ooh, I was expecting it to taste really manky, but that's really good. And it tastes healthy as well. So I really feel like I'm getting my health out of that. If you want to find out more about their Daily Greens, one of the most convenient products, I think, with all of that in there, you can go to the link in the description where you can get a discount code. I want to say a massive thank you to Huel for supporting us. They are supporting our physical endeavors, our podcast, our business, because the thing that is so precious about the Huel product for me is the time that it saves. The amount of time that you can waste throughout a day is incredible. And with food and nutrition planning, it is very difficult. So to know that you can do this and have everything that you need in one scoop is absolutely mind-blowing for me. So head to the link down below.
The quote that you said, and I love it, and I want to get this printed on my wall somewhere, but it's the more you shine, the more shadows you cast.
I make it very... let's make it very graspable. I have always been a person who prefers harmony. I prefer harmony. If I was with my brother or my father and mother inside our apartment, I didn't like it when there is something in the air. I didn't like it when I feel, when I could sense conflict. I also didn't like it when in any group there is a type of conflict. And being exactly that person who is normally not talking a lot, I always try then to figure out, okay, what can I do in order to bring harmony into this group? Well, I jump now a little bit, but funnily also like from my Chinese zodiac, I'm a water pig. So if somebody wants to find out the qualities of a water pig, one of them is I like harmony. Okay. So it has always been my trying out that everybody stays in harmony. But on the other side, I realized, especially now within the last years, it's getting an impossible task. I just realized for myself what I'm wishing for is impossible. Which means no matter with what type of intention I'm trying to bring out these things, I can very well understand why the suffering in this world, according to our Buddha who is sitting behind us, he said, it is greed, hate, and ignorance. That fits extremely well. The thing is, I can't change anything about the greed of other people. I can't change anything about the hate that people feel. I can only change something about myself. And yeah, and with this sentence, I just realized the higher I started to, it's a nice picture. I felt like walking up a mountain. Why? Because the higher I walk the mountain, the more I can speak out and the whole valley is going to hear it. That's why, in a way, it makes sense to be on top of the hill. Because from there, if you shout, the complete valley is going to hear it. At the same time, the higher you climb the mountain, the more difficult it becomes to breathe. So there's something which goes hand in hand there. You want to reach more people, okay, but at the same time, it's going to become more difficult. I had the idea, you want to reach more people, somehow it's gonna be easier for you because maybe people are somehow going to help you up on the way. I don't know what type of, but it's not like this. I realize you go higher, you go even more alone. Why? Because nobody is willing anymore to invest their energy in going higher because it's becoming more difficult. They say, oh, it's already okay here. Why you still want to move up there? The air is getting thinner over there. It's getting more hard to breathe. It's getting more dangerous, whatever. So that means along this way, the higher you want to go, the more likely you're gonna walk alone. This is the next thing. And then I think back also in one sentence I always remember again. along the way to mastery, you walk the way alone. This is not my sentence. I think it is a sentence I heard within the field of martial arts. Of course you can say, why? If you practice martial art with all of the passion that you have and other people also have passion, then the group becomes stronger. It makes it easier for you to stay on this field. It is one perspective, yes. But self-mastery, mastering something, is always about yourself. And if you want to master yourself, well, you're gonna challenge and face yourself. And this is happening alone. It's also like recently, somebody told me, in case I feel like in dark times, you are not alone. Let's put it like this. If this room is completely dark, I am alone. Even if somewhere behind there, I see a spark of light, I see a spark of hope, which is behind there. Yeah, but for me, experiencing here, there is still the gap of darkness in between me and the spark of hope. So around me, for me, it's dark. And I don't have anybody left and right for me. So, and in this picture, meanwhile, I really think that to build yourself up, to have a certain amount of, let's say, responsibility for yourself. This is why I'm emphasizing all the time in all of these years, make yourself strong. Make yourself strong. We all want peace, yes. But here, in our place, we not just want to have peace. Peaceful and strong. This combination, I prefer better. Yeah.
Another quote that kind of captured millions of people again was, for something new to come, something old must go. Empty the cup.
Perfect example. Like I also mentioned one of our conversations that I just arrived back from a travel, yes, from Montenegro. And coming back then to Germany, of course, I still have like elements and memories of that trip in my mind. Still, as a normal human being, wishing they would have stayed a bit longer. But as long as my capacity of the mind is there, I just can't immerse into what's happening now. And it's taken simply away my capacity of allowing even something tomorrow, the day after, the week after, even to arise. Because I'm still stuck with something that I don't want to let go. This is like a practical way. On the one side, you can really just argue by, listen, if from the 24 hours a day, you are like sleeping 8 hours and you still have then the rest of 16 hours to invest in something. If from these 16 hours, you are spending 10 hours sitting there thinking about how nice everything was a few days ago, well, it's just blocking you from investing these 10 hours in now starting to do something now or planning something that you want to put into place later. This is like simple, the simple expression of that. And now this is one aspect about why this topic of letting go, why the topic of emptying the cup is so helpful, because it also applies to information flow at the end. Flow of if you want to learn something new. It's just not appropriate to go to a teacher, visit any seminar or any workshop when you already have like a preconditioned mindset or preoccupied mind while entering into new territory. to understand new territory, you have to become part of the territory. You can't bring your own ideas and values, what you think, into a new territory. And yeah, because this is in a way limiting what is possible to penetrate into you. Okay? And so again, also here, it applies to this fact. It's constant filling up, emptying the cup, filling up, emptying the cup. Doesn't mean you are not learning or that you're not growing along the way, because this is what the cup is doing. The cup is growing by doing so. But it is the content. It is like, yes, it is like you read a book. You read the book, and after some time, you get the content of the book. Latest after reading the book 10 times, you have the, you understood the message from the book. But now it's possible you put away the book. The container is not necessary anymore, because the message has also went into, let's say, your system. Yeah, so it's not necessary to carry the book still in your backpack wherever you are going. It has become part of you already. Unless you are collecting knowledge without putting this knowledge into practice.
I'm sorry to interrupt this video one more time, but my younger brother, William Mulligan, one of the Mulligan brothers, who edits and comes onto these shoots with Master Shahang Yi and runs his own YouTube channel called The Everyday Stoic, has a book coming out. Penguin are publishing this book in the next few days. I'm going to link it down below. Simple Rules for a Good Life. It's a Stoic guide by The Everyday Stoic, aka Mr. William Mulligan, my little brother. It's absolutely amazing. So if you want to find out more, head to the link in the description. And please, I want to send this to New York Times bestseller list number one. So if you want to do that, go buy a copy. Yeah, it's amazing. It's an absolutely amazing book. Applying Stoic philosophy to your everyday life. That's kind of what this is for. It's a simple guide, that's the whole point. And yeah, it's got my brother's name on it. Anyway, we can get back to the video now.
Is there any teachings in Shaolin that talk about the idea of like false deities and, you know, like material goods and how it's not great for the mind?
It's simply rooted, I would say, in the fact of attachment.
Mm.
Okay, so it's like why I'm not a friend of investing, for example, buying a house, buying an apartment. Why? Because as soon as there is a house standing somewhere, something about me is stuck. Okay, because you need to take care of it.
Mm.
Okay, so in German word, it's called like Immobilie. Yeah, but immobile.
That's
exactly what's happening, okay?
Yeah.
So this is when it comes to this type of teaching, meaning the more you attach to something, now it doesn't necessarily only have to be like material. It's in general, whatever is this, you get attached to it, you're stuck. But the world is turning, everything is changing. So I think if you want to get somehow in harmony, you can't be stuck. That this is, for me, the general understanding. So I make it simple for myself. I'm not talking about material. I'm not talking about just emotional. Whatever it is, you can get stuck in material, get stuck in emotionally, and also can get stuck mentally, can get stuck with your ideas. But it all follows the same principle. You get stuck, something about you is bound there. The energy is bound. So, and if you want to move on, well, then the burden must go. This is what it is. But now just to jump back just one step before that, yeah. If somebody is willing to take the same sufferings as like other people, no matter what, you look at any successful person. I think once the circumstances would also be the same. The only question would be if you are also willing to go through the suffering and the sacrifices somebody has went through. And that's all about it. So it's not just about what do you want. It's especially about what are you willing to sacrifice for this? And I make it very, very simple, for example. Yeah, for the last 23 years, 99% of the time, I wake up alone and I go to bed alone. And this is why nowadays I reach so many people. I think this is also something that goes hand in hand to it.
Mm.
Okay? And if somebody wants to have this life, well, chances are high. This is the question. What type of sacrifices are you willing to go through? What type of suffering are you willing to take? And based on that, it determines what can you reach.
On that point as well, this is something I'd love to try and articulate for the audience as well, because I think you painted a picture there. So if we were to take somebody like Dwayne Johnson, just for the sake of this analogy, if you took Dwayne Johnson and you put him where he is today with everything he owns today, and then you showed exactly what he had to do to get to those steps, and you in detail, and then you put somebody at the start line and says, are you willing to do what he did to get to where he's got to? And some people would say yes, and they would try, and maybe if they would fail, maybe they'd succeed. Some people would say no, there's too much work, and they probably wouldn't do it. This is the fact that gets me, and I love this. The difference is Dwayne Johnson, he didn't get a picture of all the results, and he didn't know that he was going to be this big success. He had to do all the work anyway with no promise. And this is where I think people get confused, is people say stuff like, well, I would work out every day, three times a day, to be a professional footballer, because that's what a professional footballer does, and they're a professional footballer. But they had to do years and years and years and years of work with no promise of being a professional footballer, and still do the work, and then hopefully achieve it. And I think that's the difference, is people say they're willing to pay the price, but when you remove the promise of success, I think it's a completely different ballgame. I think it's such a difficult journey into the unknown that people don't understand as much when they make these kinds of analogies. And like, you did that for years and years and years. You didn't know you was going to have this success with the Shaolin Temple when you were waking up every single day doing this. You just, I guess, hoped and had a vision, and you made it, but you didn't know. Does the analogy make sense?
That absolutely makes sense. I was just thinking, maybe that something, all the type of extraordinary things happen without you planning them. Maybe this is really the price for you accepting the fact of going through suffering. This is like my philosophy. So you are willing to really keep going, stay disciplined, don't give up. Just have trust in whatever. And because you keep on going, because someone can see how much pain, how much suffering you're willing to take, maybe this is the reason why sometimes there are presents. Of course, you can take this only as a picture, but maybe this is the analogy, yeah?
Mm. Well, I felt that that's the case. Like, the more... it's such a terrible piece of advice or quote, but the more we have suffered and the harder it's been, usually, wherever it was at some point, the more the gift was for us. And it seems to always be the case. And I guess it's that thing again, the balance of the universe. Like, you put in and you put in and you put in and you put in and you give and give and give. And then one day, somewhere unknown to you, it comes back. And it feels like magic sometimes, that the way it happens, but it does. And it usually happens in the place you weren't looking, is where the gift will be returned. Maybe not where you wanted it, but something will come. And I've always found it fascinating and incredible. And I think when you understand that finally, it does change your life. And if you can just start to trust that, we say trust the process, because we feel that we know now, we've had that feedback once. And once we had it once, it came two, three, four times. And the more and more that came, the more we understood that it will come somehow. As long as we just keep trusting the process and we stay disciplined, we put as much work as we can into it and bear the hard times with grit and determination, at some point there'll be something. whether it's a gift at the doorstep or whatever it is, but it will be returned. I think it's hard for some people to have faith in that, though, or believe that it will come back, especially when it's painful.
Maybe just take a look at the nature. No, this is why are sometimes the lifestyles that we have so much related to the nature, why I like to go to the nature, because there it gives sometimes the answers. You just look at, for example, there are some trees, they grow quite fast, and then you have some bamboos, like, yeah, so many years nothing's happening, and suddenly the boost comes. So, but what all of them have in common is, it's about the roots. So, and some roots take longer, some roots they need to prepare properly, knowing what's going to happen later on. So, and this rooting, meaning entering into new territory, is also what makes it so painful when we are trying to build up roots in our life. Also, now coming back to like the martial training, there are exercises which are called strengthening the roots, developing the roots, rooting. So, and are these relaxing exercises? No. They are exhausting. Hard, hard for the mind. Challenging for your discipline exercises. But when you go through it, everything else you're going to build upon this is just going to benefit from it. Yeah. And so how fast something goes or whatever is really not important. This is not where to place the attention on.
This one kind of tacks onto that a little bit. But I feel like knowing you and your physical capabilities, that you have some kind of process for doing this for yourself. But is there a way to slow aging or to feel and be youthful later in life?
Yes, I think one way, for example, for you just to see. Take a sheet of paper once again and write down everything that as a child that you can observe on your child. Write down the attributes that you would say these are qualities of being still young, of still being a child. Carelessness. Spontaneity. Yeah. Just doing. And then you write down all the attributes that makes a serious businessman. Or whatever you think. That makes an adult. Everything very precise, structured. I don't know, it's different. You write this down. And so you have a list about all those two things. Compare it now for yourself. Where do you identify yourself with? So where do you see yourself in within the last week? How much did you do spontaneous things? How much did you laugh out of nothing? How much like did you express, let's say, your emotions? How often did you put on a mask because you wanted to have something? And just like this, it mirrors right in front of the eyes where you yourself are at the moment located. So, and if you want to become more adult, then it means you're gonna get old. And if you want to stop aging, you better engage more again into everything that was standing there on the first column. The one thing that was never depleting energy, it is the one where energy is just being expressed through you. Nothing got stuck inside of you. Things getting stuck is when we become adult and start to have very preoccupied mindsets and preoccupied goals about how and where this life is supposed to lead to. Goal-oriented. Everything must have like a sense. For the child, sometimes there's no big sense behind it. He just feels like doing it. He does. It's free expression of whatever comes up. It's like when you meet people. there is some intuition you can have about people. And it goes quite quickly whether you are able to then afterwards deal with them or not. You right away, once we get close, you feel my chemistry. I can smell your chemistry, so sad, and you can smell mine. It goes very, very quick. So, but this is something which means that already our first encounter gives us an indication of what to do or what not to do. Yes, and something like this is like still when you're a child. If that overwhelming joy comes towards you, you directly just express it. Because it's there, the energy of the joy is there, boom, you express it. It's just now that once we start to grow up, then sometimes we start to suppress things because it's not the right setting right now to express, even if you sense it. Yeah. So this is why. Why do we age? Because you are not allowing life to throw just through you. You are starting to select what you would like to keep about life. So you walk through the, oh, this I like and this no. So like this, yeah, you start to preoccupy yourself with something. This is why less and less and less life is actually running through you. So, and that is the process of living and dying. Only to be formless, everything can still come. Only when you're formless, everything can still come. If you stay a stone, you stay a stone.
You know, the first time we spoke, you spoke about a lot. You spoke a lot about the universe in a really scientific way. I think you went to quite long in depth in it. Is that based in that anything? Like, have you studied that before? Or
I return back to the bikes. You know, bikes is really materialistic. It's something about elements, so meaning what type of material. So I knew already, like, a frame made out of carbon fiber or a frame made out of aluminium is different than a steel frame. Mm. So this is why I also discovered in school time, my favorite lessons were, one of them was English, second one was chemistry, third one was physics, and fourth one was mathematics. Mm. Okay, so everything very number, rational, cause and effect based. So this is why my interest also was into like atoms, protons, neutrons, and all of these things. Yeah, this is where it actually comes from. So where I always, beyond or besides the philosophical teachings that I received during my martial art training, of course I always had in the mind, yeah, but we still have like the scientific way of trying to explain everything that's going on in the world. But that's exactly also how it is. Scientists discover what is there. If it would not be there, you cannot prove it. Mm. So that means also for me, the basis of everything is not science for me. Science is just getting deeper and deeper and have more proper ways in proving something. But what they prove is just something that has been there all the time already. Okay? So my question is, how come there is something all the time there already? This is what my emphasis is. And so therefore, I don't have this fight, for example, who is right? The religions or the thoughts about the universe or like the scientists? No, scientists have always, I don't know. But the worldview about whether we are round, whether we are flat, whatever, it has changed several times in history. So that means scientists have not always been right. Mm-hmm. Maybe nowadays they become more and more accurate. I don't know. Okay, but scientists also sometimes can measure wrong or can come to wrong conclusions, I don't know. But the fundamental basis is, if there's something that you can observe, that you can discover, who put it there for you to discover it? What put it there for you to measure it?
Have you got a belief on that?
I make it simple for the world. All the time I talk about connection. Because if we strip off our clothes, we're getting closer of being similar. Because there's just skin covering our skeleton. You see, if we take the color out of our skin whatsoever, at the end, there's something the same about us. And that means that in my view, in my perspective, there is one source we're coming from. There's one source. And I don't know, and I don't want to give a name to this, because I don't know. But it is like my deep... I'm trusting this, that we have the same source, which also makes it at the same time, again, more easily to actually understand why is it in the Buddhist teachings that compassion has such a high value. Because it is the logical consequence, let's say, if there really is the connection, compassion is the natural consequence of it. Mm. Because if we are connected and you are suffering, it is my suffering. And because suffering nobody wants, there is no other way than if I feel your suffering, that even that I try to put everything I have in power into place in order to also lower your suffering. Because either we succeed together or nobody will succeed. Very simple like this.
How can we, as not people who are not practicing Shaolin, how can we physically prime ourselves for mind, body, spirit, for, you know, an entrepreneur, a businessman, you know, your mum of two kids? How can we physically prime in a similar way to you that would help lead in a normal day-to-day life?
Forget about words. Forget about Shaolin. Forget about any specific style or teaching or anything like this. Look at yourself. Look at your own life right now. Put it, if you like, on paper. What is it that, which type of areas do you see about your life right now, which can mean this is my professional life, this is my private life, for example. Just really make very clear. If somebody would ask you, okay, write me down on some pages, how does your life look right now? And you try to, as detailed as possible, put it on paper. So what's happening is, you're already starting actually to dive deeper, asking about how does my life look? What is your life consisting of? So you have it right in front of you. And all the aspects that you have written down there, the deeper you go, the more time you spend with it, the more you can even go into detail with all of this. Yeah. Also meaning, for example, now in regards to the body, your work, your wife, your family, your hobby, whatever, it's all only possible because you have your body. So just very naturally, it arises that job is not priority, family is not priority, hobby is not priority, money is not priority, nothing is priority, because all of that becomes unimportant in the moment you are not there. So now we are with us, always and always again. And now you draw out, who are you? Who are you? My values, my physical body, my state of the mind, my emotional world, my... whatever it is. And so we are having these five areas already. And each of these five areas, again, my mental state, your mental state 24 hours, write it down. What is it your mind is flying around? What are your topics? What are your mental topics? Your emotions. How many different states of identifiable emotional states can you like sense during a 24-hour day? So again there, yeah, suddenly it gets deeper. Then you can say, for example, your emotional states. Why is it that from in the morning you were in that state, and what happened suddenly that in the afternoon you were suddenly in a different state? So what slowly starts to come is that you are starting to see connections. The connection of your thinking patterns, your emotional states, your lifestyle when it comes in terms of diet, at what time do you eat, what do you eat, at what time do you go to bed, how much time do you spend in the sun, whatever it is. So what happens is you are starting to see your life. And based on this view now, if you say, okay, I realized mentally I'm jumping too much. I can't focus. It's your own realization because you have just done this experiment. So you see, my mind is jumping around too much. So, and now, 21st century, there are plenty of methods created for the human being in order to calm the mind. Doesn't matter if it comes from Shaolin, if it comes from whatever. There are plenty of methods to now improve this weakness. Okay? So, and the same is like all the other things. You feel like you have a weak lower body. So what you are looking for is, I want to have methods in order to strengthen my lower body. There are plenty of ways how to do this in this world, and it doesn't even necessarily come from Shaolin. So what you need to do is, you need to see yourself, you need to find your weakness, and then you need to have the courage in order to figure out new ways, entering into new territory, making the phone call or writing the email, and visit somebody who has the tools that can uplift now and increase that that weakness of yours. And this is then where you are, just like a puzzle, bring things slowly together. And this complete attitude, this attitude of doing so, seeing your weakness, finding a way how to improve it, improving it. This is the core. This is the essence of Shaolin. It doesn't matter if you make beautiful movements or not. For me, this is not Shaolin. Very clearly. I don't care if somebody makes a movement that they see in the movie, which looks like, I don't know. This is not Shaolin for me. It is the essence inside that you figure out for yourself, uplift yourself, and based on this uplifting, based on compassion, you help others to cultivate the same state of being.
In life, it's about you figuring out what is important. You will never get to where you want to be. Surround yourself with people with different journeys, different expectations. So you have to surround yourself with the people you wish to be, and in time, you become it. And it's so powerful.